Good. So we're going to get into the Word. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. We're going to get into the Word. I love telling testimonies, and I could go on all day. You know, Judy and I, we experienced a time when, you know, we'd had a couple people that left the church, and then a couple people whose, you know, life wasn't working out so good. And we thought to ourselves, after a while, you know, we're talking about these things. Wow, there's so many bad things happening. Did anything good happen in all these years? And then we started talking about the people who had been saved, filled with the Spirit, who had made a decision to serve God, whose marriages were healed, and people that were healed and set free. And, you know, after a few minutes, we thought, you know, this sounds pretty much like the book of Acts. You know, it's so easy to focus on the negative stuff around us. We need to make sure that we take time and on purpose remember the good things that God has done for us. Oh, all of our life, He has been faithful. Say it one time with me, God, you're so faithful. Say it with me, thank you for your faithfulness. Oh, praise God. So Ephesians 6 and verse 12, and I'm reading also from the Amplified Classic. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. We all know this scripture. This is a church that believes in the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. We've all been taught this. We've heard it. We put it into practice in our lives. But I believe that this message is going to be more and more important to us the longer we live before Jesus comes. We're living in some very dark times. I don't know if you've noticed it, but we're living in some times where the forces of the enemy seemed arrayed against the church and against the message that we're preaching. They want to contend with our right to free speech. They would like to take that away because our commission has to do with free speech. It has to do with preaching good news to people. And it's not an easy time for many people today. This word that Paul used when he talked about the heavenlies is a word that speaks of the dimension of the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit. It's not just talking about heaven. It's not just talking about the atmosphere around the earth, but it's speaking specifically about the realm of the Spirit. The word in the Greek is eporaneos, and it means the realm of the Spirit. And in the realm of the Spirit, like we all know, there are two kingdoms. Jesus spoke a lot about the realm of the Spirit, but he spoke primarily about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in the realm of the Spirit. Everywhere you go, the kingdom of God is there. Everywhere where you are, the kingdom of God is there. It's not seen, it's not visible in this world except through the actions that we produce, right? But it's there all the time. But there is also another kingdom in the realm of the Spirit, and that's the kingdom of the enemy. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus talked about this. The Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the prince of the demons, Beelzebub. And Jesus spoke to them in Matthew 12, 25, and he said, as he knew their thoughts, he said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Say this with me, his kingdom. Now, we don't want to ignore the devil. We don't want to give him any glory, but we don't want to ignore him either. He's got a kingdom, and he's ruling in this kingdom of darkness. But in the same chapter in verse 28, Matthew 12, 28, Jesus said, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So we see there's a kingdom of darkness, but there's the kingdom of God. There's a big difference between these two kingdoms. You know, first off, God's kingdom never has an end. Amen. Satan's kingdom has an end. One day his kingdom will be put down once and for all, forever. He'll be bound with a chain, thrown in that pit, and then afterwards he'll be let out for a short while and then thrown into the lake which burns with fire for all eternity. Everybody say, ha ha, devil. Ha, ha, devil. Amen. He deserves it, doesn't he? Yeah. But the kingdom of God is eternal and it will never end. The kingdom of God is filled with love, joy, and peace. The kingdom of darkness is filled with confusion and hatred and chaos. We are in the right kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we need to recognize that everywhere we go, the kingdom of God is there, but also the kingdom of darkness is there. And you can experience either more of God's kingdom or you can experience more of the devil's kingdom. And it has really primarily to do with our own focus, what we're looking at. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, John wrote, "We know that we are of God." Say this with me, I am of God. That means you're born of God. That means that you come from God's lineage. Hallelujah. God is your father. You're part of his family. We know this. We need to know this. And the whole world, he says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world. Say the whole world. Now, I think that Nanuet is a part of the whole world. I know that Austria is. But the whole world, all of these places are under the sway of the wicked one. In the New International Version, it says it like this. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. You know, the political systems, the economic systems, they are under the control of the enemy. You know, one of the temptations that the devil tempted Jesus was, he said, look at all the glory of these kingdoms. Look at all the wealth of these kingdoms. Bow before me, worship me, and I'll give it to you. Jesus didn't say, well, you can't do that, devil. It doesn't belong to you. He didn't say that because it's a fact. When Adam and Eve sinned, we know that the rulership of this world fell into the hands of the devil. And he is ruling in the kingdom of darkness, ruling behind the scenes in governments, ruling behind the scenes in giant corporations, ruling behind the scenes in very much of the media that is given to us every day. In the Amplified Bible, it's presented like this. We know for a fact that we are of God. Say that with me. I know for a fact I'm of God. I like the way that sounds. I know for a fact I'm of God. What do you know? Say it again. I know for a fact that I'm of God. I know if we know for a fact we are of God. And the whole world around us lies in the power of the evil one opposing God and his precepts. Now, have you noticed that? Does it seem like to you when you go out and you want to tell people about Jesus that there's opposition there? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, when we come to church, we don't notice it because we've come here, we praise God. When we praise God, his presence comes. We're sensing his kingdom, the atmosphere of love, joy, and peace. But we go out those doors and we don't have to go very far until we notice there's opposition. Until we notice that not everybody's thinking the way that we're thinking. Not everybody's believing what we're believing. And this can burden you down in life. It can be a distraction in your life. There are some people right now feeling hopeless, cynical. Things can never change. It's not working. What is the problem? Sometimes people think that it's their own fault. Maybe it's because of me. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe the trials and tribulations that we're facing in my family, in my finances, maybe it's only because of me. But I want you to know, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Amen. You are all right in the eyes of God. You're doing well. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. The problem is not with you. The problem is that we are living in a world that is infested with enemies. It's a fact. Now, don't get me wrong. We're all in the process of sanctification. I know I look out here and I see some of you, your halo is a little bit crooked, and, you know, and then I look at others and I see you're sprouting wings like an angel. I know. We're all in the sanctification process. And no, we don't always do everything right. We don't always, you know, follow the leadings of the Lord. That's a fact. And we need to grow and we need to learn. Amen. Amen. But you can't forget the fact that there is a world of enemies arrayed against you. Because what they'll do is use your own emotions against you. Use your own thoughts against you. You walk out the door and you think, oh, I'm such a mess. And then all of a sudden, somebody starts whispering in your ear, yes, you really are a mess. As a matter of fact, you're far worse than you thought. You know, it's like they'll say, you know, I like the hammer that you're hitting yourself on the head with, but use mine. It's bigger. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? And then, you know, you only have to watch the news for 5 minutes, at least for me. If I watch the news for 5 minutes, I need to repent because I'm starting to get angry and mad, and he'll use your anger against you. He'll use your compassion against you. Some people, they think they're being compassionate because they see all the needs around them and there's so many people in need, and all of a sudden they just feel burdened down, and it's like, you know, crying, and this world is hopeless. And don't get me wrong, compassion is a wonderful thing. It's a thing of God. And these emotions that God has given us, they're wonderful things. They should enrich our lives, but the enemy will use them against you. And you got to be careful because they're all around. And many people in our world today are so deceived and defrauded by the devil that it really seems like we have an epidemic of mental illness. I hear some people talk and they're supposed to be leaders of our country. And I think to myself, you know, that sounds like somebody who needs a psychiatrist and some pills. He needs something. I mean, I know what he needs. He needs deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's normal. They think it's normal. And it's easy sometimes to get frustrated with people. It's easy sometimes to talk bad about them and to get aggravated with them. Amen. You know, and then all of a sudden, like I said, okay, I see my need to repent again. I should have been praying, and here I was talking and criticizing. Don't forget, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Against these forces of the enemy. This is a spiritual attack against humanity. And it's not even that the devil cares about people. He doesn't care about anybody. But he cares about messing up people's lives because he knows God so loved the world. If this is an opportunity for him to get back at God, that's what he's all about. But we can sense it. To me, it seems like this attack has intensified. You know, and the Bible tells us that the attack intensifies before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. He knows that his time is short, and he's angry, and he's going to try to do what he can do before Jesus returns. We need to be aware of this. Don't forget you are in a spiritual struggle. In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come except for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and to have it more abundantly." We can experience more of God's abundant life and more of his kingdom, more of life. We can experience more of abundance. Or we can allow ourselves to get distracted, sometimes by our own emotions and thoughts that have not been renewed, and all of a sudden we find ourselves down in the dumps. All of a sudden we find ourselves singing the blues. You ever sing the blues? I used to sing the blues for a living. That was my job. Yeah, I did that. But we don't sing those songs anymore. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was playing my guitar at a street mission or at the prison, and I always like to get their attention by playing something cool on my guitar. I thought, you know, I'll win them by playing a few cool blues licks or something. And I would do that and boom, 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 pow! Yeah, I'm just jamming, playing some blues. And then I thought, okay, I'll sing a few lines from an old blues song. And I got up there and I couldn't think of anything to sing. Because I no longer had the blues. Hallelujah. I got the joy. Amen. Hallelujah. But Jesus said that there is a thief and he's working full time to steal, kill, and destroy. In your family, in my family, your life, and my life. And we are multidimensional beings. I don't know if I invented that slogan, but I like it. We are multidimensional beings. We live here in time and space, but we are also spirit beings, and we're connected with the realm of the spirit. So we are multidimensional, and we can go some places, and it feels like heaven on earth. Amen. Like right here on Sundays. And we can go other places, and it feels like hell on earth. Am I the only one? You know, a couple of years ago, I was in Kabul and in Afghanistan, where Corey and Natalie are, yeah? You know, it's so funny. The first time I went to Afghanistan, I went with the same ministry that they work with. I did not know them at all. And so I went there to preach at one of their retreats, and I was in Kabul and then in Herat. And I meet you know, Natalie and Corey, and they said, "Well, where are you from?" I said, "I'm from New Jersey," and they started laughing, and then I heard Corey say, "Yeah, and you know, I'm from Redeeming Love Christian Center." I said, "You got to be kidding me! This is wonderful." All over the world, I said, there are people all over the world serving Jesus, and I was so thankful to meet them. And but when I was there, when you get in there on the airplane, you can sense a difference in the atmosphere immediately. Amen. If you have any spiritual sensitivity at all, you come to that place and you can sense the darkness. You can sense the oppression. People are suffering and people are being abused. People are being oppressed. It's not like it is here. But you know, even in our world, we can go to different places and experience that. And if we don't remember what's really happening, we can think, "What's wrong with me? What's my problem? Why am I so messed up?" You are not messed up if you're in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. But when you're walking around in this world, there's going to be forces of darkness messing with you. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith." We resist him in the faith. He walks around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. All of his teeth have been pulled. All of his claws have been pulled out. He's defeated. He's under our feet. But you know what? He's got a bad memory because Jesus crushed his head. Did you notice he's got a bad memory? You tell him, "Get out of here in the name of Jesus," and the next day he shows back up. Huh? That crushed head is a problem. And he has a right to roam about. You remember the story where some lady came up to Brother Hagin and said, "Brother Hagin, can you pray for me that I won't have problems with the devil anymore?" And he said, "Okay, I'll pray that you die." She said, no, that's not what I want." He said, "Well, that's the only way you're not going to have problems with him. He's going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We need to resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist those emotions that are trying to pull you down. You know, there is a compassion. There is, we look at people and our heart is moved with compassion, but it moves us to do something. It doesn't move us to sit down, cry, and give up. Hello, church. You out there? You going home? Amen. And then in James chapter 4, verse 7, again, James says the same thing. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I think I could meddle a little bit with that first point, "Therefore, submit to God." But we'll just let it go. Amen? There, it starts right there, submitting to God. "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, I want to talk just for a few minutes about resisting the devil, how we can do that. I know you've heard this before. This is just a reminder. You know, I'm not here just to speak and entertain. I really feel like God has sent me to also help equip. We're here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The world out there needs you. They are desperate for you. Your family needs you. They are desperate for you. Amen. And so we need to, you know, come to church, be equipped, be built up, get ready to go out there and give the devil a black eye. Amen. But I just want you to notice here, before we get into how, that Jesus talked about the devil and demons. And all of the apostles warned us about the devil and demons and about spiritual darkness and about this struggle that we're having. They all warned us. And this is what Jesus himself told us to be aware of. Jesus spoke more about this than anyone else, actually. But many modern theologians, they don't even believe in the devil anymore. And I think that's probably his greatest lie. They talk as if the devil was just here, a figment of their imagination back then. Of course, they lived back in those times when people were ignorant. They didn't know, you know. And so they thought there was a devil. One theologian in Germany, and so we're in Austria. It's a German-speaking nation. In Germany, this guy said, and he was one of the biggest theologians in the Lutheran church. He said, "You can't use a radio and take medicine with your sick and still believe in this strange miracle and spirit world that they believed in back in the times of the New Testament." There's a lot of people that have been messed up by that kind of thinking. And I want you to know, for a theologian to say that, he is greatly deceived. The devil hoodwinked him and pulled one over on him. He's been bamboozled. That's a fact. He's been bamboozled. And, you know, he thinks he's being real intelligent. We're modern people. We know better. Let me tell you, no one knows better than Jesus. No one knows better than the apostles that he set in their office. Amen. And this way of thinking has impacted many modern churches. You hardly ever hear about this kind of stuff. You only hear about, hey, if you're feeling down, think more positively. You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not going to criticize any churches. I'm glad for every good thing that's happening in the name of Jesus. But we need to recognize we are in a spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual struggle. That's what you experience, and that's what I'm experiencing. And some of these theologians are just giving a little bit of pop psychology and hoping that will be enough. And no, I want you to know that psychology alone, there may be a few good points there, but that will never, ever be an adequate weapon against the forces of the enemy. We need to use the weapons that God gave us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, now he's not talking about you just fleshing out, by the way. He's talking about the fact that we live in a body. Okay, he's not saying we walk in the flesh and we're just fleshing out. Okay, he says that though we're walking in a body, a natural world, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Say this with me, I have weapons. Spiritual weapons, mighty weapons, the mighty weapons of God. Amen. God has given us what we need to overcome in this world. He has given us what we need to make sure that our families are saved and go into heaven. You know, Judy mentioned this book, and I'm only going to mention it because I believe it will help somebody. Go ahead and take a copy. If you can't even afford to buy it, just take one anyway. I believe in this message and it will help you. It's not just a few little prayer words or something like that. It is a book filled with revelation knowledge about how to get your family saved. Amen. We've seen it happen in our families and we're still believing for some of them. Amen. But we have spiritual weapons that God has given us. What are these weapons? I just want to mention a few of them, and I want to focus on one in particular, or maybe at least say a little bit more about that one. Because some of these weapons need more instruction, and I don't have time to give instruction about all the weapons. You know, if you get a weapon, you can't just go out and start shooting. You need to learn how to do it right. You know, I was invited by a guy in our church to go target shooting. And I mean, that's a very rare thing in Austria. Most Austrians have no guns. That's, you know, the mentality that came into Europe after Hitler. He took all the guns way back then. And anyway, they still believe that's the right thing. Whatever, they can believe what they want to believe. It's okay with me. He invited me to go shooting, so I was there with him. And, you know, the first gun that I used, it was like this rifle. And it looked pretty cool. You know, I felt a little bit like Rambo or somebody. And I'm looking at the target 50 yards away, and boom, first shot was a bullseye. I was pretty excited about that, you know? And then he gave me a pistol, and I got that pistol. You know, it was a Glock 9mm pistol, and it went boom, and that thing just like jumped back like that, and I don't know where the bullet went. I mean, thank God it didn't hit anybody, but it was one of those tunnels that you shoot into, so, you know, it was pretty safe. And then I said, okay, that didn't work, and I tried it again. I think out of like all 10 rounds or something like that that I shot, one of them just hit the target, didn't hit the bullseye, but hit the target somewhere. Probably the piece of wood sticking out on the bottom at the very end. I don't know. But anyway, I was still pretty excited about my bullseye, and this guy had taken a few pictures of it, and also a couple short videos. And so I was preaching in a church in Germany, and the pastor of that church is also a police officer. And I had to show him, you know, because I was kind of, you know, feeling like my manly ego was kind of, you know, coming out. And so I said, now, I got to show you I was shooting this gun. And I said, the first shot with that rifle, boom, that was a bullseye. He said, ah, that gun shoots itself. Anybody can do that. I was like, well, thank you. That's good for your pride, I'll tell you. And then I said, with the other one, I wasn't doing very good. And he saw the video, boom. He says, no, you're not doing it right. He says, you got to hold your arm out straight. You hold your arm out straight and then hold your hand here like this. And then the kick, it doesn't kick as much. I didn't know that. here I'm shooting boom, boom, boom like this. And I looked like a cowboy in an old Western or something. It wasn't working at all. And I learned something on that day. Now, the next time I go, I probably do better. I might even hit the target. I don't know. But with some of these weapons, just hearing about them, that they exist, is not enough. We need to learn how to use them. But there's one. One of these weapons is very easy to use. I mean, everybody can use this one. It's like a hand grenade. You know, boom, just throw that thing. Boom. You don't have to be very accurate in where you throw it. Just got to get close, you know, just get close. It's a good weapon. I want to spend a little more time on that. But before that, let's look at a few others. Number one, the Word of God is a weapon. Ephesians 6 and verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is a weapon. Jesus used this weapon in Matthew chapter 4 when he was being tempted by the devil, right? The devil came and said, if you are the Son of God. By the way, did you notice where the devil attacked Jesus? He attacked Jesus in his identity. Is that a problem anywhere here today? In this church, I'm sure there's not. But I mean, there are some people that have a big problem with their identity. They don't know if they're a man or a woman or a Martian or something else. They really don't. It's really true. The devil attacks people in their identity. You know, and we need to recognize that all of that stuff that's happening, I mean, it can make you mad. It can make you frustrated. They say, we're coming for your children. Let me tell you, the devil wants you to get mad and distracted. He wants you to spend more of your money and time on politics than anything else. Politics will never change that. The power of God, the authority in the name of Jesus, the love of God. They're looking for love. They're looking for Jesus, but they don't know it. They've never experienced Jesus, and that's why you're here. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's where the devil attacked Jesus in his identity. If you are the Son of God. And Jesus, he didn't think about it twice. He took the sword out and he says, it is written. And he did that time and time again until the devil finally left. Amen. We need to fill our hearts with the Word of God. Learn scriptures. How do you say that? By auswendig. What's the word, Judy? Help me. My English is no longer very good. We have to learn them by heart. That's what I want to tell you. And you know, when you learn them by heart, learn where that's found as well. Don't just learn the scripture and then forget where it's found. Brother Hagin said, if you learn a scripture by heart, but you don't know where it's found, that's like having a good friend, but you don't know where they live. Amen. You want to be able to tell somebody else about that. So learn them. And we have no excuses for this, right? I mean, we need to have a lot of scripture in our heart. We need to have a lot of scripture in our mind. Amen. Amen. We got to have a good arsenal of the Word of God. So anyway, the Word of God is important, the whole Word of God. But I want to share two quick things out of the Word that you need to hold on to, especially in your fight. Number one, don't ever forget this. You have already been delivered. Say this with me out loud. I've been delivered. Say it aloud. I've been delivered. Do you need deliverance?
No.
I'm telling you right now, you don't need deliverance. You are a walking, talking deliverance ministry wherever you go. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen. He has done that. You don't need deliverance. You have been delivered, but you need to know it, believe it, act on it, speak it. Amen. Say it again. I've been delivered. Amen. Do you need deliverance? No, you've been delivered. Amen. You have to learn how to walk in it. You know, sanctification, lifelong process. To be sanctified, you need really just three or four things. Number one, stay in the Word. Number two, stay in prayer, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Number three, stay in church. If you do that, you're going to make it. The good work he began, he will complete. Amen. He's going to do it. So don't forget that you have been delivered. You don't need deliverance. You probably still have some bad habits. Amen? There's probably still some areas where God's working, am I right? But you don't need to be delivered. You just need to continue walking in the Word, walking in prayer and fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and staying in the church. You never make it without staying in the church. Never make it without staying in the church. Amen? Okay, number two. Number two here, the second thing is, don't forget, you already have the victory in Jesus. Isn't that right? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it with me. I have the victory. Say it loud. I got the victory. But you know, this scripture is so wonderful because I know we have the victory, but it doesn't say that he gave us the victory. It says he gives us the victory. And that's present tense, isn't it? That means, you know, you already had a couple challenges in life and you overcame them. He gave you the victory. But it doesn't matter what you're facing today. Whatever challenge you have today, he will give you the victory today. He's got a victory with your name written on it today. He's got a victory for you today. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Okay, the second weapon, I just want to mention it real quick, is the name of Jesus. These signs follow those who believe in his name. In my name, Jesus says, they will cast out devils. Praise the Lord. The very first sign that follows believers is authority over the devil. I'll never forget this. As a very young Christian, I was playing in a band still, you know, and on the road, we played the casinos about 6 months out of the year in Atlantic City, and the rest of the time was on the road in different showrooms and hotels and stuff like that. And we were in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and our bass player, Franny Smith, oh, by the way, when I left the band fell apart, you know, I mean, hate to say it, but anyway, Franny, the bass player, he got a job with the Hooters. And he's still playing bass for the Hooters. I don't know if you're familiar with the Hooters. That's also a pretty, you know, old band. But anyway, so Franny, after our first show that night, he said, oh, no, I have it again. I said, well, what do you have? And he says, it's a classic migraine. I said, well, what's that? He said, well, the periphery of my vision closes off. It gets black on the sides, black on the sides, black on the sides, until I can hardly see. And then it just closes off for a minute, and then it opens back up. And he said, then my head will throb for the next 2 days. Well, Franny had gotten saved, and I was saved. And Frank, our drummer, he had just gotten born again about 2 weeks ago. And so we said, well, Franny, we'll pray for you, because Jesus said these signs follow them that believe. And Franny, he said, well, no, that's okay, guys. I mean, it's going to be all right. I know how this thing works. And he went back to his dressing room. And Frank, he had only been born again 2 weeks. He says, I don't care what he says. We're going to pray for him. And so we went back to his room, you know, Franny said that when we walked in, he saw Frank, but he couldn't see me because the periphery of his vision was almost gone. And so we went in, and I thought, well, I probably should do the praying, because now I've been saved about 2 months, and Frank, he's only been saved about 2 weeks. I'm kind of like the elder here, you know. And we went in and said, Franny, we're going to pray for you anyway. And I put my hand on his shoulder, and I was going to pray, you know, my cool prayers. I had learned quite a bit in 2 months. And I put my hand, I said, in the name of Jesus. And he jumped up off the bed, and he said, it's gone. It's gone. He was healed right there in that moment. And, you know, and I thought to myself, I didn't even get to show how good I can pray. It's the power in the name of Jesus. Say, the name of Jesus is a weapon. And this is for all Christians. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for a few special Christians. These signs follow them that believe. Don't let the devil take your family to hell. You got to tell him, in the name of Jesus, stop. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you can use that name when you go to your workplace. You got somebody giving you a hard time there? Never forget, behind the scenes, there's our forces at work trying to mess with you. Go in there and say, okay, I'm here now. I've got authority here. Every devil, every demon, get out of here in the name of Jesus. You are authorized. Amen. Hallelujah. Prayer is a weapon. Number three, prayer is a weapon. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, truly, Jesus says here, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Verse 19, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Now, there's a lot I could say about this scripture because, you know, for us that have learned about the believer's authority, this is something that we take for granted. We have authority to bind and loose. But what I found out that there are some people that think, no, that they're misinterpreting that scripture. Some people think that binding and loosing has to do with church discipline. You know, Jesus said that if your brother sins against you, go to him. And then if he doesn't listen to the whole church, treat him like the heathen and the tax collectors. And that is, yeah, I always thought that was funny that Jesus put, you know, the sinners and tax collectors in the same boat. Anyway, it's another story too. And, And so anyway, Jesus connected that with this saying, you know, whatever you bind on earth is loosed, is bound in heaven, whatever you loose is loosed. And so people think that this is what he's talking about. This is about allowing people to come to church or putting them out of the church. And, you know, because of the context, it's maybe not a bad thought. But there are others that believe that this is dealing with, you know, rabbinical teaching, like the rabbis. So the teachings that are accepted, these are the things that we actually, you know, loose, right? They're permitted. And the things that we don't allow as far as teaching, these are the things that we bind and don't allow. This is another big theory on that. But I only wanted to say that because you might hear that from somebody sometime, and it might shake your faith in this truth. Jesus connected binding and loosing with prayer. Now, those other thoughts, they may have some value to them. But when Jesus spoke about binding and loosing, he talked about prayer. Like, in, you know, he says, whatever you bind will be bound, whatever you loose will be loosed. And then he says, again, I say unto you. In other words, I'm saying to you this, and I'm saying the same thing in different words. Actually, the word he used to connect those phrases means, I'm just going to say it differently. I'm repeating what I said in a different way. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That's why he said, if you ask anything on earth, it shall be done for you by your Father in heaven. It's about what happens on earth and what heaven stands up and backs up in our lives. Amen. And then he says, and where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So you can bind the devil. I already told you about Elizabeth. That's exactly what she's done. But we've told it to many other people, and they're seeing results in their families. You need to bind the devil. There's another version of this scripture, another translation, Matthew 18, verse 18, that New Life, New Living translation. It says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbid in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Don't allow the devil to mess with your family. Don't allow the devil to do that. Don't allow him to mess with your finances. Amen. Don't allow it. You just need to say, I don't allow that here. In the name of Jesus, stop. I know we've heard these things, but we need to remember. You know, Judy asked Brother Hagin one time, yeah, but my family, they, you know, they have a free will and they can decide for themselves, right? And he said, yes, they can. And that's why you need to be consistent. That's why you need to keep it up. You know, if you bound the devil 2 years ago, that doesn't mean he's still bound. Because your family member could have opened that door again. They have a free will. You need to stay on it. You need to stay on it. Hey, I told you yesterday, I'll tell you again, I know you're a little bit slow upstairs because your head's crushed. In the name of Jesus, stop it. Amen. Amen. He's not taking our family to hell. No way. No way. Number four, the blood of Jesus is a weapon. I'm almost done. I'm only going to mention this quick. The blood of Jesus is a weapon. Revelations 12, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. You know, our life here on earth is short, and there's all kind of good things we can do with our life. But I want you to know we are living here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you've got a great job or a great business. I know it's wonderful to spend time with our families. It's great to have your own house. It's nice to have a nice car. It's good to go on vacation. All of that is good. But we're living here on earth in this time, the rest of our life. It's for Jesus. It's to get as much fruit for the kingdom as possible. To get as many people. You know, Reinhard Bonnke, he won really millions of people for Jesus. And he said, it's my goal to plunder hell and populate heaven. I like that. Plunder hell and populate heaven. Amen. Just get as many. Yeah, the devil lost another one. Amen. So by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we overcome the accuser of the brethren, right? He's the accuser. Does he accuse you, or is he just accusing me? I mean, it seems sometimes I think that I'm his full-time job, but I know he's messing with other people too, right? You know? When he comes accusing, you need to take the blood of Jesus on your lips. You need to say, in the name of Jesus, I've been washed, I've been cleansed. In the name of Jesus, I've been redeemed by the blood. I have a covenant with God. Amen. There is no condemnation for me because of the blood, because of the blood, because of the precious blood. I'm washed in the blood. I'm cleansed in the blood. Amen. The blood protects me. Hallelujah. I'm covered in the blood. Oh, let that be your testimony. It's a powerful, powerful weapon. You know, the old time Pentecostals, they used to say it all the time. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood over my wife. I plead the blood over my kids. I plead the blood of Jesus over my house, over my money. I plead the blood of Jesus over my health. Hallelujah. And that means I'm not trusting in my power. I'm not trusting in what I can do. I'm trusting in the precious blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So all of these weapons are good, but we need a little more instruction sometimes to use them effectively, you know, to hit the target, what I'm talking about. But this last one is like a grenade. I mean, it's like a bomb almost. And the last weapon I want to mention is praise and worship. Praise and worship is a weapon. Amen. It is a powerful weapon. Now this weapon, it changes the atmosphere wherever you go, right? I mean, you can go into some place where it's dark and dreary, where it's really difficult, and you start to praise God. Now, if you stick with it, you don't let the devil get you to shut your mouth and be quiet, you know? You just stick with it. Start praising God. His presence comes. God inhabits the praises of his people. And all of a sudden, that heaviness is gone. We experienced that this morning, didn't we? It doesn't matter how you come, when you come into church, it doesn't matter how you're feeling. You come in here and after about 10 minutes, the atmosphere has changed. The heaviness is gone. All the worries have melted away. Fear fled, chased out the door about 10 minutes ago. Amen. It changes the atmosphere wherever you are. Praise him. Glorify him. That's like that grenade, you know. You don't have to know too much to give God thanks. Has he ever done something good for you? Do you know anything good about God? Amen. Has he shown his power to you in some way? Did you read about some of the things he did in the Bible? Well, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it back then, he'll do it again. Come on. He is worthy to be praised. You know, the angels in heaven around his throne, it says that they do not stop, they do not cease day and night to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they say the whole earth is full of his glory. He was, he is, and he's coming. Amen. I mean, they're in heaven and they're just looking at God and they can't stop praising him. Amen. And then you read in the book of Revelation, you know, where the elders are. It says every time these angels begin to praise the Lord, the elders fall down on their face and throw the crowns before his throne and they start worshiping. They say, you are worthy. Hallelujah. You are worthy to receive glory, honor, praise, power, might, dominion, strength forever and ever. You are worthy because you've redeemed us by your blood out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation. You've made us kings and priests, and we're reigning on the earth with Jesus. Oh, he is worthy. Now, you know the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, right? Where Jehoshaphat, and he's king in Jerusalem at that time, and there was three armies that came against him, joined together, banded together, and were coming to destroy Jerusalem. And he was a little bit nervous at first, and he said, let's fast. Everybody needs to fast and pray. And as they were fasting and praying, a prophet stood up, and he says, you know what, guys? You're not even going to have to fight this battle. Amen, because the Lord God, he will fight for you. So they got up the next day. You know the story. They got up and they went out to where those armies were gathered, where they were stationed, and they put the praisers in the front of the army. And I just want to read what happened in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22. When they began to give thanks and to praise, the Lord sent an ambush against the Ammonites and the Moabites and those of Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Say it with me. They were defeated.
They were defeated.
How did they get defeated? It was God that did it, and he did it through the praises of his people. Amen.
Amen.
Praise is a demonstration of your faith. When you praise him, when the armies are arrayed against you, when you give God thanks, when it looks like it's hopeless, like you stand no chance, I'm telling you, God is going to do something for you. Amen. And we know the story of the Apostle Paul and Silas. They were in prison. It was the midnight hour. It looked bad. They had been beaten. They had been, you know, handcuffed, and they had those chains around their feet, and they're put in the deepest cell of the prison. It's looking bad, and it's the midnight hour. And what did they do? They began to sing and to pray and to praise God. And it says the prisoners heard them. You know, sometimes we're thinking that we got to be real polite and be real quiet and that sort of thing. I think we need to be a little more bold. I think we need to be a little more demonstrative. I mean, I think there's people out there that need to hear that God is great. Amen.
Yes.
John Osteen, Brother Hagin told this story that he was with John Osteen going somewhere, and they got into an elevator. And there was some businessman talking with another businessman in the elevator, and they both smelled like smoke, and they were just, you know, being nasty. And he said they were cursing the name of Jesus. And John Osteen, he was a short guy like me. And he said John Osteen got up in their face, and this guy was a big guy, got up in his face. He says, "Hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord, amen." He says, "If you're going to curse him, I'm going to praise him." You know, they stopped cursing him pretty quick. There's power in the name of Jesus. You speak that name, the atmosphere changes. You praise his name, the atmosphere changes. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And what happened? An earthquake came, shook that prison. The doors flew open. The chains fell off their feet. And you know, I want you to know, you might not have an army arrayed against you like Jehoshaphat. And you might not be in a literal physical prison, but it might feel like it sometimes. It might seem sometimes like it's the darkest hour of your life, like there's no chance of getting out of this thing. But I want you to know, if you open your mouth and begin to praise God, his presence will come, the atmosphere will change, and power will be loosed on your behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. In Psalm 149, verse 6, this is the last scripture, and then we're going to pray. It says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand." Amen. Two edges. So we're praising God and we're chasing the devil off. We're praising God to execute vengeance on the nations, punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron. You know what the kings need? Do you know what these people who are trying to bind people need? They need to hear your praises. They need to hear your praises. They need an atmosphere change. Amen. They need an atmosphere change. They're living in an atmosphere of darkness because the whole world is flooded with darkness. They need an atmosphere change. They need to experience the kingdom of God. Amen. And then it says, "To execute on them the written judgment, this honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord." Let's just do that and stand up right now. Let's stand up and praise him. I want you to think about the biggest challenge in your life right now. I want you to think about your family. I want you to think about the financial struggle that's trying to put you under. And I want you to praise God. I want you to think about the things the devil is telling you is going to happen in this country. No, they're not going to happen. We're not going to let it happen. We're believing God. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you praise. We give you thanks. There is hope in Jesus every day. Jesus, you are greater. Your name is above every name. Every knee shall bow to your name. Every tongue will confess. Jesus, you are the Lord. You are the Lord in Nanuet. You are the Lord in New York. You are the Lord in New Jersey. You are the Lord of all the earth. You are the rightful Lord of this world. We give you praise. We honor you. We lift up your name. Jesus, King of glory. Jesus, King of saints. Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. We praise you. We thank you. We praise you and we thank you. Go ahead and praise him in other tongues. Oh, shapatala kasendrendele, nesto korie sabrakushan jandal, sibriesos shamyende kepasukrosatre leva samyotadas. We praise you. We honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're praising you with our language. We're praising you with other tongues. We're praising you in the spirit. We're praising you with our understanding. Hallelujah. Oh, shakapatadala. All things are possible. All things are possible. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're our provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are high and lifted up. We praise you. Hallelujah. Your blood has cleansed us. Your blood has washed us. We stand here by the blood. We plead the blood. We plead the blood. Thank you for the blood over Nanuet. Thank you for the blood over the United States. Thank you for the blood. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father. Hallelujah. It shall be as you said. It shall be as you promised. Your word never changes. Your word is the same. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth will pass away. Your word will never pass away. Your word is spirit. It is life. It is mighty. It is powerful. Hallelujah. Your word is truth. You are mighty, O God. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Thank you that we are not slaves to some kind of a fate or a destiny. We can make decisions. We can act in your name. We can obey your word and see results. We praise you. Faithful, faithful, faithful. You are faithful, Lord. If you need healing, receive it right now. If you need healing for your body, take it. It's yours right now. Take it right now. Hallelujah. If you need a breakthrough in finances, take it right now. There is a breakthrough for you right in this room. Take it. Take it. Receive it. Say it's mine. Praise God for it. Praise God for the breakthrough. Praise God for the change. Praise God. He's working right now. He's working right now. Oh, glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I see children and grandchildren turning around. They've already turned around. They're on their way back. They're on their way back. They're coming back. Hallelujah! I see children and grandchildren. They've already made the turn. They're coming back. Praise Him for it. You and your whole house shall be saved. You and your whole family. Oh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. I don't know what to say about this, but I'm seeing in the realm of the Spirit like a door opened over your head, and I'm seeing provision falling out on you. Provision falling out on you right now. I'm seeing it in the Spirit. It's like money falling down. It's like provision falling down. I know it's a spiritual picture. Take it right now. Take it right now. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Praise and honor. Woo! Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord say, He's seen every seed you have sown. None of that seed has gone to waste. That seed is growing. It's coming up. It's coming up. It's coming up. Say it with me. It's coming up. It's coming up. Say it's growing. It's producing. Yes, in the name of Jesus, it's producing. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. Amen. You know, just to let you know, you can do this tomorrow morning too. Woo! And He'll come to your house. He'll show up at your house. Amen. He'll just come and bless you at your house. Amen. Amen. You know, this world is under the control of darkness, but don't put your focus on the darkness. It's calling out to you every day. Pay attention to me. You turn on the news, it's saying, pay attention to me. Things are getting bad. Don't put your attention on the devil. Know that there is a battle. Know that there is a struggle. But keep your eyes on God. Keep your praises on the Lord. Amen. Don't allow yourself to be distracted from the call that He has on your life. Every promise He made is going to come to pass. He is a faithful God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Rashiketele Sambamakure Shachandende. Hallelujah. Ha ha, devil. He is so defeated. He is defeated. He is fully disarmed. Amen. Hallelujah. He's got no weapons. He's just got a big mouth. Amen. Amen. We're not going to be lunch for the devil. No way. No way. We're going to be like Joshua and Caleb, you know. Those enemies that you've heard about, they're like bread for us. We're going to eat them alive in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you. Oh, Kishepa Kosopo Resham Yende. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word of truth. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your mighty working. God, we thank you that you've given us the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for the precious blood, Jesus. Thank you for dying in our place. Thank you for paying the price. And thank you for cleansing us and washing us continually when we need it. Thank you so much. You never leave us. You never forsake. You never give up on us. You give us the victory time after time after time after time. So, so faithful. We give you praise. We give you praise. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us an opportunity in this day and age to be carriers of your victory, to be carriers of redemption, to be carriers of reconciliation, to be carriers of your mighty Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Use us, Lord. We thank you that our whole family will be saved. We thank you for blessing the work of our hands. We thank you that we have more than enough. We thank you there's no lack. We thank you for more and more provision to do your will, to fulfill your plans and purposes. We thank you that Nanuet will be filled with the knowledge of your glory. We thank you New York will be filled with the knowledge of your glory. We thank you New Jersey and the whole United States of America will be filled with the knowledge of your glory. We thank you that the whole earth and Austria will be filled with the knowledge of your glory. That's what we're living for, Lord. We just give you ourselves brand new, everything about us, spirit, soul, body, everything we have, everything we are, our past, our present, our future, it all belongs to you. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified in us and through us. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask you to just close your eyes and maybe bow your head for a moment. I know some of you, and it's been so good to see you again. We're so thankful that you've had us with you and invited us to be with you. We're so thankful for Redeeming Love Christian Center and what you have imparted in our lives. We're so thankful that the day is coming where we're going to see Brother Clinton and we're going to see Sister Sarah again, yeah? But we're also thankful that we're still here and we still have an opportunity to reach people for Jesus. Amen. But I don't know everybody, and since I don't, and I know there's some people watching online, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, or if you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, then you don't know what life is about. Real life can only be found in Jesus. Everything outside of Jesus is only existing, and that's why it's boring, and that's why there's no life in it. If you want to know life, what it really means to live, then I'm going to invite you to give your heart to Jesus today. We're going to pray a prayer together as a church, and I want to invite you to pray it with me. Hallelujah. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you're here and you've been backsliding and you haven't been walking with God, today's a good day to come back to Jesus. Amen. I saw it in the Spirit. Some people have turned around. Some people, some of your children and grandchildren, they've already made the turn and they're coming back. They're coming back. Come on. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. You're welcome. You're welcome to come as you are. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. I want to invite you just to open your heart right now and pray with me in faith and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you right now and I give you my life. I believe in you. You died for me on the cross. You paid the price for my sins. And I'm so thankful. You defeated death and you rose victoriously. I believe that with all my heart. Jesus, come in my life now. Be the Lord of my life. I receive you right now. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed this prayer for the first time, I'd ask you to come forward. I'd like to see and pray with you. Pastor Ed and Pastor Greg, they'd love to see you. I know the team here, they'd love to meet you and pray with you. If you did it online, you can also write. There's email address here. There's telephone number. Just go ahead and write us. We'd be happy also to be in contact with you. They'll send you some good information about how to get started with Jesus. It'll be the best thing you've ever done. You will never regret it. True life is in Jesus. Amen.